All right, ladies and gentlemen, listen up. This is an awesome podcast. I can't wait for you guys to dive into this one. I love doing all of these podcasts. I hope that you guys enjoy listening to them. If you do happen to enjoy listening to them, share it with a like-minded individual. I don't charge for the podcast. You're not going to get a refund even if you didn't like it, because it's free to your device, whether you're listening to this on iTunes or Spotify. And all I hope is that you guys would share the show. Don't be a hoe. Share the show. I want to give a huge shout out to Racetech Suspension and Engine. Those guys are amazing. They helped me out in a big way. Looking forward to continuing to working with those guys in the future. And I'm getting my suspension done by them in the new year. The KTM is going to be sprung in a whole different way. No more air fork. Backyard design. No more going back and forth with a designer being like, hey, you didn't put that logo on the way I want it to. I don't like the color that you use for this particular panel. None of that. You do all of it yourself, and it's so easy to use. Even a bricklayer like me can figure it out. WeBig Moto Co., that's where you're going to find all of the amazing apparel with all of those logos that are clearly ripped off. I absolutely love it. They have zero fucks given to anyone who, any of these companies like Marlboro or Ferrari. They just put those on the website and they're for you to enjoy. Luxon MX. Improve your ride with Luxon MX, whether it's the linkage components or the triple clamps, or maybe it's just a set of bar mounts. You're going to have a much better feel of your motorcycle with Luxon MX. Same thing with WUSA. Let's be honest. The wheels that you're on your bike are probably egg-shaped, oblong, and looking pretty ugly. They'll be not looking so ugly if you get yourself a set of W wheels, and you can actually save, I believe it's 15% off of your wheel set by mentioning Big MX Radio. So I think, well, let's just say a set of wheels runs you about $1,000. That's $150 off, and that you can use that towards maybe getting yourself some Luxon clamps. Maybe you spend that money on some Fast Company handlebars. Good enough for the Bruff Brothers, which I'll be going down and hanging out with those guys in a couple weeks' time down in Mesquite, Nevada. Those guys run the Flex handlebars, and they go a whole lot faster than you. I can guarantee this, unless Ricky Carmichael are listening. I seriously, seriously doubt it, but welcome to listening to the show, my friend. Looking forward to having you on the podcast. Last but not least, Guts Racing, best seats out there. The seat covers, the complete seats. Honestly, one of my favorite things that I was able to do is get a complete seat for my motorcycle, and it was just plug and play, fit up immediately. Worked awesome with my graphic kit that I put on there. I did get a black seat cover because I'm pretty boring, but black goes with everything, so that's the way it goes. All right, guys, let's get to the pod.
2-1. Welcome to the Big MX Radio Podcast. This is the 2024-25 Arena Cross, AMA Arena Cross Preview Pod. I am your host, Brad Gephardt, with me on the line. Pretty much any time that I want to talk Arena Cross, I'm going to get an expert in the field. This time, it happens to be Chris Riesenberg over at Racetech. Chris, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm actually excited to get the season going and have been getting hyped to more and more. And I saw the lineup for it. I'm like, yes, this is going to be an awesome season of Arena Cross.
The whole thing kicks off November 15th and 16th in Reno, Nevada. 12-round series ending on Friday night in Daytona, the kickoff bike week. It's going to be amazing. Checkers, there's a lot of changes that are going into this series, a lot of different angles, and some new athletes. We're here to talk about all of it. Give me a little bit of a rundown on your experience and your well of knowledge when it comes to Arena Cross.
Well, the last couple of years, we've seen a resurgence in Arena Cross in a rebuilding and a completely new format. And they've really been just tweaking the format to make sure that it provides really good and exciting racing. But also, they want it to be a racing championship and something to be taken seriously. It is the AMA Arena Cross Series. And as we know, AMA number one plates are super important. And so the racing action has to be legit and not a sideshow. And now they have a bunch of really legit guys to go after this championship, to go after that number one plate. And it's going to really mean something if you win the championship this year.
So in previous years, you had three different opportunities to put yourself into that A main, where all the points are scored and all that fun stuff. This year, not three heats. Now it's down to three heats, no semis, and two LCQs. The B-Main, the Racetech B-Main does return, and we're actually going to see a little bit more carnage and a little bit more athletes in the main events. We're growing from 12 to 15.
So one of the things is when they did the resurgence of the arena cross, they actually started with 16 rider main events, and the lappers were outrageous, and they were in a lot of the smaller arenas. Now that we're going to a lot more bigger arenas, the talent level is a lot deeper. They've gone to 15 rider main events. I think that number will work really well. There is a lot of talent to try to get into that main event. If you look at the rider list, there's probably going to be some really good guys not able to make it to the A main. They'll be in that Racetech B main to compete for some extra money. And getting rid of the inverted start is probably the biggest story of the format going into the season. You know, they line up for that second main. They're going to line up how they finished in the first main. No longer are you penalized for winning the first main event. So Kyle Peters, for instance, last year, your defending champion, you know, wins main event number one. He would have been going to the back row on the second main event. He no longer will have to do that.
Certainly. So getting rid of the inverted start, I myself am a fan of it. A guy like Kyle Peters, I think there should be a reward for winning that first race. Put yourself in a good position to be successful the rest of the night. You don't like it. Why?
Well, actually, I really like the inverted start because it created action and excitement. But the difference is for 2024-2025 season, it's just another statement that the depth of field is here in AMA Arena Cross. They don't need a gimmick of a flipped starting line to create action, because if you look at the list, there's probably 7 or 8 guys that can realistically win any main event that they line up for.
So with the elimination of semis, and not to say that there's going to be any less action out on the track, that opens up the schedule for the insertion of some entertainment of a different kind. Tell me what we might see.
So the Stark brand has jumped into AMA Arena Cross, and they're bringing the X Pro class with them. We're going to see electric motocross bikes, high performance motorcycles, really, really talented riders like Justin Bogle, Josh Hill, Michael Hicks on electric bikes competing for a ton of cash all season long with their own heat races, main event, and the Clash for Cash comes to Arena Cross, very similar to the old Dash for Cash, but with a huge twist with that addition of electric bikes. We're going to see the top 3 guys on electric bikes line up against the heat winners from the gas class for $2,000 each single night to win. There will be a lot of money on the line in this class. Guys are going to want to win it. And how's that going to affect the racing? You can usually sense a guy coming up your inside in Arena Cross where block passes are very, very prominent. But now the guy on the electric bike, maybe you don't hear him there. Maybe you don't sense him there. Is he going to be able to come in and knock you down? How are they going to be on the starts? How are they going to be in the rhythms? How are those bikes going to perform? We're going to really get to see the future of AMA Arena Cross and racing with that class, the Clash for Cash, with a ton of money on the line.
That's right. The Kicker Audio Clash for Cash. That's 3 Starks combined with 3 gas-powered motorcycles from the heat winners. Half the class is electric. Half the class is not. But the entire race is going to be absolutely electric, because they've got $2,000 on the line to split up between themselves. Or is it a winner-take-all? I assume it's a winner-take-all.
It's $2,000, $1,000, and I believe $500. So top 3 of the 6 get paid. And there's one other format change that's really, really important. We're going back to the old school days of Arena Cross at a lot of the stops. It's not just one night of racing and you're done. It is 2 main events over 2 nights. They're racing Friday and Saturday nights. That means 4 main events plus a Clash for Cash. A lot of time for a lot of action, a lot of drama, a lot of, you know, you get in a feud on Friday night, that dude's going to come sliding up inside you Saturday night, first main event, because he's ready, he's mad, he's still angry, he hasn't gone home for a week to forget about it.
Yeah, certainly. There's going to be some hard feelings, which is basically, that goes hand in hand with Arena Cross, and that comes right down to the athletes in question. So let's break it down. You want to start off with some known contenders or what?
Yeah, absolutely. We have the guys that are established that we know that are on the pre-entry list. They're coming into the season and they expect nothing more than the championship. Kyle Peters, 5-time champion, defending champion, had a lot of challenges last year. Coming into the season, I just saw lining up on the 450, which is a big switch for him. What do you think, Brad?
When it comes to Kyle Peters, I see as someone who has consistency, fitness, and the ability to perform indoors on a consistent basis. He is moving up to the 450. Is that going to play into his strengths? We're going to find out. And honestly, having a little bit more grunt coming out of those corners, he's not going to be searching for horsepower whatsoever. I think he's going to have an easy time adjusting to that motorcycle, and we might see the best Kyle Peters we've seen in years because of it.
I do think he'll come in motivated, and another guy that's 100% coming in motivated with something to prove. We've seen Michael Hicks poke his head in here and there. Well, he is lining up on the Rock River Yamaha at the whole season. He is a famed indoor arena cross slayer. The dude is a bad machine on an indoor track, and he's always been a guy to come in, and he likes to go head-to-head with Kyle Peters. He wants to show that he is the man. Well, now he's going to get a chance all season long. He is lightning fast. He is absolutely not afraid to be aggressive. He is confident and talented. Can he put it all together to beat the machine, the robot that is Kyle Peters?
Well, we've seen Michael Hicks come in on select events. We've seen him in Guthrie fighting tooth and nail with Kyle Peters. But that's select events. That is sort of you're coming in, bit of a wild card. You can kind of just let it fly for one particular weekend and come out on top. An entire season is a completely different ball of wax. I'm interested to see how Michael Hicks puts an entire season together against a formidable opponent like Kyle Peters.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going to be there poking the bear, I guarantee it, from round number one. He wants to establish himself, Michael Hicks, that is, as the guy to beat. That's the position he's always been in. In any other series that he goes to or any fair race he goes to, he is a gunslinger at these money races, and he wants to assert dominance immediately. But Kyle Peters is the man right now in AMA Arena Cross, and he has to take him down first. We saw Ryan Breech try it last year, and he got close. He put the pressure on, and he's coming back again. What do you know about Ryan Breech?
Ryan Breech is one of the most physically imposing individuals I've seen on a motocross track or supercross track or an arena cross track in recent history. The kid carries with him an attitude like, get out of my way. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what you've done in the past. I'm here to establish myself. And for a good portion of last season, he was the guy to beat. Ryan Breech is as serious as a heart attack when it comes to performing at a high level when it in arena cross. I think he wants to make a name for himself. And I think that he's already established himself as a guy who can at the very least run the pace every single weekend. He proved it last year.
He definitely can, and he knows what it takes. He's been there. He has a brand switch, but with it comes a whole team of support behind him. But the dynamic of that also means he has teammates in the truck. And it's one thing I know. It's one thing to be the number one guy on the track. And if you can't do that, you better at least be number one in the truck. And they don't use the semis in arena cross. They're sitting in the pits side by side in lawn chairs with their teammates. And guess what? Ryan Breech is going to be sitting down right next to the bad boy of arena cross this year, Vince Freese. Vince is an amazing starter. He has a ton of experience. He's been going to head-to-head with the best in the world. He'll run a wheel in on Eli Tomac. He is not going to be scared to run a wheel in on Ryan Breech, Kyle Peters, or Michael Hicks for sure.
No, Vince Freese has made a career out of not really taking inventory of who he's racing with. He doesn't give more respect or less respect to anybody on the track, no matter who you are. If you're behind him or in front of him, he's going to race you hard. Now, to be successful in arena cross, you need to have two skills in your bag of tricks to be successful every single weekend. That's good starts, and you need to be physical on your motorcycle. Vince Freese has both of those traits in spades, and I expect him to be a thorn in the side of anybody who starts in front of him or behind him. The MCR team, they're moving to arena cross full-time for this particular year. I think they're going to make a lot of noise. I think they're going to impress a lot of people, and I would not be surprised at all, 100%, to see both Ryan Breech and Vince Freese in a heated battle or possibly on the track and definitely off the track as well.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a red wave between the MCR guys and then Kyle Peters that are going to be really formidable. And as always, the one guy when we talk about title contenders that we really overlook, it's the underdog, Kyle Bitterman. He's there year in and year out. He's been runner-up in this championship over and over. Top three in the championship nearly every time he lines up. He has the consistency. He will be there every weekend. He can deliver. But can Kyle Bitterman finally find that extra little bit of speed, the extra bit of starts? And last year, he needed to eliminate the crashes early in the year before digging himself a hole that he had to get out of. He is also switching to a 450. I think that might allow him to settle down a little bit, to be a little bit smoother. Can we see Kyle Bitterman surprise everybody? Let the Freezes, the Breeses, the Peterses, and the Hicks slam into each other, take each other out, cost each other points, and Bitterman's all of a sudden sliding in there on the podium, inside the top five every week, grabbing a win here and there, and he's a title contender. I definitely would not be surprised to see that from the underdog Kyle Bitterman.
I think there's a ton of pressure on Kyle Bitterman to produce early and often in this championship. He can't afford to get behind the eight ball as far as results go with this stacked class rolling in. Peters is going to be fast. Hicks is going to come with speed. And both Breeze and Freezy are going to be physical. It's going to come down to Kyle Bitterman coming out swinging at round one and whether he's going to stay in this championship or let the rest of those boys fight over it.
Absolutely. I don't see him making up a ton of points on all of those guys. He has to be in it and be consistent and play the long game if he's going to be successful. And speaking of playing the long game, there's a whole bunch of kids jumping into the series. That is the thing that is the hardest for the rookies when they jump in. They can show speed in a practice session and be the fastest qualifier. We can see them win heat races. We even saw last year Crockett Myers go out and win a main event. But he goes the next weekend and struggles to make the main event. He's in the B main sometimes. You have to have that consistency. We have a whole bunch of young talent trying to prove themselves, trying to make a living in AMA Arena Cross. And it starts with the Red Bull athlete, the Wonder Kid. He goes huge, Kalana Humphrey.
Kalana Humphreys, much like a lot of these young athletes, loves to ride the roller coaster. He's had some excursions off the motorcycle. He's flipped that thing recently. And he's also spent some time on a start. I think the versatility of Kalana Humphreys' riding skill, as well as his ability to adapt to different motorcycles, is really going to play into his hands throughout the entire season. He's an open-minded kid with a great riding style. I expect him to be close to, if not top rookie of the year, as far as Arena Cross goes this year. I expect big things from him, and I also expect him to bring a certain amount of calmness to that being a young racer in the series. In the fact that that's just his approach to motocross and life is just to do so in a calm manner, dissect things. I think he's going to be good.
You know, he came in last year and he wasn't scared to bang bars with anyone. Now that he's got a little bit of experience with a couple rounds under his belt last year, I'm guessing he'll calm down. One thing that was very, very impressive about Humphrey, and it's a struggle for most rookies, is figuring out the whoop section. AMA Arena Cross, they aren't scared to build big whoops. Nope. That's what's going to be really tough for a guy like Noah Viney. Can he figure the whoops out? Does he have the technique? He has two veteran teammates at the Moto Concepts truck with him, in Vince Freezy and Ryan Breese, to help him learn the whoops. But is he actually able to figure it out? He is going to be full of energy, excitement, thinking he can win for sure, being on that team, on the stage of AMA Arena Cross. But he's got to channel all of that energy into positive results and not digging himself in a hole in between the whoops on night number one and throwing it all away, not making a main event, costing himself points.
I completely agree with you. And the thing that I'm looking for the most out of this youth movement is an insertion of aggression into the series. And I think that's something that the younger riders are going to have to cultivate within themselves. And the first guy that comes to mind is Jadon Cooper. This kid's got speed. This kid's got style. I don't yet know if he has the aggression and that snarl needed to be successful in Arena Cross. You can't be a shrinking violet out there. You have to assert yourself. And you put yourself in a position weekend in, weekend out to fight for these positions. And I mean fight. Will he have it in him? We're going to find out. But for right now, I have some questions to be answered about a guy like Jadon Cooper, but what I don't have questions about is his raw ability and speed.
Yeah, he's coming off being an amateur national champion. He is a legit guy, but most people don't know who he is. He's off the radar a little bit, and he needs to come in and make a name for himself, and he's got to earn the respect of his competitors by flat out being there week in and week out, and look no further than across his truck of how to do that, Chandler Baker. He has support from Husqvarna once again this year. They're coming in on the EBR squad, ready to go. And what they're going to do when they bring that with them in Chandler Baker's side is they're going to show a lot of speed. We know that. They're both very talented riders. What Baker couldn't do last year was put it together race after race. He was cartwheeling through the whoops race after race. And then he'd get up and he'd go extremely fast. He was as good as almost anyone in the series last year, but he couldn't keep it on two wheels long enough to put in solid results and finish well in the series. He has to clean that up on year number two. And then he is a guy that he's not scared to bang bars. He's very emotional on the racetrack, which can work in his favor if he can channel it in the right direction and control it and only unleash it when he needs to. But he has to be able to do that if he wants to actually be a contender for the championship and not just a main event guy.
Certainly. I think Baker is one of those guys who I could definitely see flourishing this next coming up year with a little bit more experience. And he can establish himself, like, even though he's only a second year pro in the series, he's got more experience than those around him. And that might propel him into that next crew and even start to battle some of our wild cards that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show. One guy who he's a kid, but he's also a little bit of a wild card because I don't know if there's a more unique individual than the young Hayden Braswell. Very soft-spoken, mild-mannered individual with an absolute thirst for speed and ability on the motocross track. Hayden Braswell is somebody who he might have a kind word for you on the line, but he'll also saw off your front end coming into the first corner. He's aggressive. He's got speed. And he's been a part of some really top flight programs, which tells me that he's going to be ready to execute at the highest level.
For sure. I mean, he's coming in really off the radar. I didn't know where Hayden Braswell was, and all of a sudden I hear his name mentioned on the entry list. I don't know a lot about his program. I don't know a lot about his prep. That's probably a good thing. Let him come in under the radar. Let him come in with the pressure off. He seems to excel in that situation, and he's got to be a guy. He's still young enough. He's not that far removed from being the best amateur in the world. What, 2 years ago when he left Loretta Lynn's, he still has that confidence, I think, that he's can go into arena cross and be the big dog. And speaking of that, I mean, we saw the guys that do peek into arena cross. I think these are going to be the group of guys. We call them the wild cards. They're going to surprise people. They're going to be potential title contenders, potential race winners all the time. And we're not talking about them at the top of the show. We're talking about them down here. And I believe they think they should be at the top of the show. They've shown results that they can be there because they've all stood on the podium. Starting it off, Team Heartbeat Hot Sauce Solitaire Yamahas, Robbie Wageman. He's come in. He's been on the podium. He's shown a lot of speed. Problem is, when he doesn't get the starts or he digs himself in a hole, he hasn't been able to necessarily capitalize. We saw it last year in Reno, though. He went down. We saw it last year in Reno or Arizona. I remember he went down. He got up. He went all the way through the field and won his heat race. Robbie Wageman is a bad dude on a motorcycle. He can definitely win the championship, and I know from talking to the team, he's bringing a 250 and a 450 to every single race, so he can decide there which motorcycle he wants at that round. He is going to be ready to go on both of them. He's ready to be versatile, which will be a huge advantage in the championship to be able to adapt and overcome, and I know he knows staying out of trouble is the number one way to this championship, and that is what he's been working on.
Diversity is the spice of life when it comes to Robbie Wageman. He's going to have his pick, whether to go 250 or 450, make that decision. And what I can tell you is that he's going to bring a lot of maturity and patience to the to his racing every single weekend. He did exactly that when you mentioned coming through the pack to win his heat race. And if you put yourself in a good position in the heat race, you put yourself in a damn good position to be successful the rest of the night. Talk about another guy who's got a lot of maturity because he's a veteran in professional motocross and arena cross. Austin Politelli has been around the block. He's got a ton of speed. He's got a great riding style and good support behind him. I expect big things from Austin Politelli. I expect him to ruffle some feathers and also be very difficult to pass because, like I said, he's a tall drink of water, not easy to move out of the way. I think a guy like Vince Freese or Ryan Breese might end up having to punt him out of the way.
There's definitely times last year that Austin Politelli was the fastest guy at the event. He could straight up walk away from both Ryan Breese and Kyle Peters. The problem is his fitness wasn't there. He had his starts. He had the skill. He had the whoops dialed. He's now coming in. He's part of this Rock River Yamaha team. He has a full team of support behind him instead of just kind of doing it on his own, piecemealing together a bike to go racing. He has support. He's known he's going racing for a long time. He's in it for the whole championship. All things that are different from last year. Is Pulitelli going to thrive, or is he going to buckle under the pressure is really the question. And is he going to be able to last two main events, two nights in a row to compete for this championship? That is a lot on the body. However, that also might help him race himself into shape at these early races to get the fitness built up while there's a whole lot of chaos in the series, be there for the long run. Another guy that's going to be there in the long run that nobody is talking about, he just creeped onto the entry list. I've literally seen zero mention of his name. The dude showed up last year at Daytona, wound up on the box, made a boatload of money, was super stoked, and is so much so that he's coming back this year to be part of the series, wants to do it all. And I think he's a title contender that no one is talking about, and that's Chase Marquier. It would not surprise me to see him on the podium more often than not. He is a fantastic indoor racer without a lot of pressure, but a whole lot of desire to make a whole lot of cheddar. And that is a great motivator when you have a family to support back at home and you want to be a professional racer. He is there to make money, period. He will fight for it every last dollar.
Tell you about a guy who is looking to not only make some money, but make some memories along the way. Brandon Ray is the racer's racer. This guy, if you're a fan of someone who enjoys being a professional motocross racer, it's Brandon Ray. This guy has an absolute blast with his craft. He is aggressive as all hell. And when Brandon Ray hits the track, he has full expectations of himself to be able to run at the front of the pack, regardless of his preparation rolling in. I think he's got some wind in his sails with a brand new program for this year. He's got a ton of great sponsors. He's got a ton of attitude. And like I said, he doesn't shrink away from any of these top contenders. If he gets a good start, he's going to fight tooth and nail to be able to stay in front of these guys.
Yeah, and I would say the opposite character of Brandon Ray, who is a lot of flash and a lot of speed and a lot of aggression that you're really going to notice on the track, is probably the guy that you won't notice on the track. And that's John Short. He's a veteran. He is a grinder. He is out
there. He's the bass drum.
To get the job done and be consistent, be strong, be aggressive. And you probably won't notice him. And then all of a sudden, he's creeped up towards that top five at the end of the main event. Wouldn't surprise me. But he's got to get starts. And he's got to be able to get that confidence rolling. Because we've seen everything from John Short failing to make main events and failing to make night shows to making main events a couple weeks later. It's all about the confidence and getting the ball rolling. It was less than a year ago that he was a fill-in on the Factory Beta squad. Clearly, the guy has a lot of talent and people have a lot of belief in him. But he's got to put it together.
John Short is probably best known for having some absolutely hero rides in the Pro Motocross series down in the States. Will he be able to adjust to arena cross? That is the real question. The friendly confines of some of these venues are very tight, and the racing is very aggressive. Does that fall into John Short's skill set? In a way, it does, because you have to be aggressive in the sport to be successful, period. But I'm interested to see if he can sort of figure it out quickly and let that speed speak volumes for how much of an impact he's going to make on the season.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not something you can wait to figure out. We've seen a lot of guys come from Supercross into arena cross thinking, well, I always beat these guys. I have them covered. I'm better than them. And they struggle because there is such a thing as an arena cross gunslinger that knows how to get it done in small confines. You have to be able to do it. You have to be able to stay out of trouble, but you got to combine it with speed, and you cannot afford a mistake. A little mistake goes a long ways in a short couple-minute race. These races go by so fast.
Yeah, life comes at you quick, and I don't think there's a single person on this list that I know less about than Jake Masterpool. He's in the wild card category for this particular podcast, and I don't think that could be a more fitting label for a guy who I really don't know what to expect from, aside from the fact that he's been in and around the sport for a long period of time. He's going to have a lot of bike skill, but I don't know where his arena cross skills truly lie. Will he adapt to it quickly? Will he show us that there's something hidden under the hood that we didn't know is there? That's yet to be told. I don't know what to expect from Jake Masterpool. What do you think?
Well, I think it's one of those things that I don't think he shows up if he doesn't think that he's going to be good and competitive. We saw it a little bit last summer of when he didn't, or, you know, in other summers, when he doesn't have his program fully put together, he won't show up until he's ready to go. That tells me if he's showing up, he's coming to be a contender. Where that slots him in as a contender? You know, is he just a main event guy? I expect he would think he's going to be better than that. Is that a top five guy? Is that a podium guy? Or is that a race winner? I would say he's got to go out and show me something first, because I haven't seen it indoors for him at all. I'm not saying it's not there, but there is a lot of talent hidden under the hood there. We've seen it. He's been building himself back into the sport. He's put in some great rides. If he's coming to the races, I think he'll be ready. And he very well could be the surprise, but I'm just a wait and see with him. And then really the other story of Arena Cross is the surprises in general. Who's just going to show up for a one-off weekend? You might not even know they're showing up and coming, and they could end up on the podium, and they can mix things up. They can get into a feud with one of our title contenders, and all of a sudden they're playing block pass wars, and their title rival is wheeling away, making up points, and they're laying in the dirt over a tough block. We saw it last year at Daytona. Things got heated between very good friends, Marshall Welton and Kyle Peters. As Peters is trying to wrap up a championship, his buddy Welton's saw an opportunity. I'm going to line up and make some money, because guess what? That's what Arena Cross provides, a great way for some of these guys to put some extra money in their pocket. Marshall Welton coming to round one, already going to mix things up. And then does he pull a Ryan Breese? He's doing well, crushing it in Arena Cross. Says, never mind, I'm not going to race Supercross. I'm staying here, and I'm going to chase this championship. I think we could very well see that from Marshall Welton. He was really, really good last year. Him showing up, racers race, it's going to be awesome to see.
Certainly will. And another sort of, you never really know what to expect from this young man. His name is Cody Groves. He may show up and race all weekend. He may show up on Friday and then get lost in the sauce somewhere and not be able to come back the following day. But if we do happen to see Cody Groves, and I hope that we do, there will be shenanigans. There will be some of the best interviews that we've seen all year. And Siege will be in full flight if we happen to do, in fact, see him. Some other notables and some smaller teams rolling up. Isaiah Clark, ? As well as the Moto Nation Suzuki team.
So Moto Nation Suzuki actually was the home for Cody Groves last year during Arena Cross.
That's right.
They brought him to the series. I know they're coming racing, and they have a group of kids. They're not on the radar. They're not on the map. But guess what? Right behind me, you see a number 10 jersey. That guy was one of those guys. Showed up to Arena Cross, lays down a lap. He's the fast qualifier going into the night show. Puts in really good results. Next thing you know, he gets a Geico Honda fill-in ride. He's a Supercross racer with a ton of success, one of the best careers out there, with a lot of longevity, Justin Brayton. One of those guys could be the next Justin Brayton. Honestly, a guy from the same exact town as JB, Isaiah Clark, I feel like was going on that path. No one knew who he was. He shows up at Arena Cross. All of a sudden, he's banging bars and even winning main events against Kyle Peters. Isaiah now has a name for himself. I know he's on the entry list from round number one. It sounds like his goals are to go race Supercross, but very much like Marshall Welton, if he goes in, has a really good first weekend of racing, and then a very good second weekend of racing, it's going to be really hard to not keep going, keep chasing the series and the championship, and to go say, see you later, I'm going to race Supercross to fight to be a main event guy. We will see what happens with Isaiah Clark, but he's another one of those lightning fast kids that can come in there. He's going to mix it up. He has nothing to lose if he's not going for the championship at these early rounds, which might take the pressure off. And we might even see a better Isaiah Clark than we've seen.
No, definitely. I could totally see Isaiah riding those first couple of rounds and then just getting bit by the Arena Cross bug and wanting to compete in the entire series. Now it is time for some hot topics and predictions brought to you by Motocross The Game. Coming to consoles and PC fall of 2025, this is the Motocross video game you've been dreaming about. What is something that you may think is outrageous, but you're going to 100% see it?
Well, it's almost like I set this up on purpose, because I do have an outrageous guarantee. I guarantee you that the AMA Arena Cross series from this year will be playable in Motocross The Game at launch as an officially licensed track pack. It is going to be awesome, free of charge. You boot the game up, you can go straight into AMA Arena Cross and get the action on the real tracks going. Super excited about this project, and that is 100% outrageous guarantee that I will be right about.
That is pretty. That's incredible. Now I'm not a huge gamer per se. I played a ton of Reflex back in the day, And then the games that have come out recently, they're not really my flavor. But I think there's something different about the motocross, the game, that is going to be kind of brought to the forefront that might bring me and many other former motocross gamers back into the fray. Can you dive into that a little bit more before we go after some other hot topics?
Yeah, it's really, really exciting. It's a group of guys that have been around and are passionate about the sport, that are the most talented at what they do, that have all come together as a community. It is a community-built game, and when they say it's the game that you've been dreaming about, it's because it's the game they've been dreaming about. You're not the only one that hasn't been a super big fan of a lot of the stuff that's come out. They're tired of the limitations. They're tired of playing everybody else's stuff. They've put their money where their mouth is to create the authentic, hyper-realistic motocross experience based on competition, bar banging, immersive realism. It will feel like riding a dirt bike. It's going to feel like the handlebars are in your hands when you pick up the controller, is what has been promised. And they are on the path to doing exactly that.
100%. I'm looking forward to it. If I'm looking into a next gen console, because the most recent console that I currently own is an Xbox 360, what would you suggest?
Well, so the game's coming out on the Xbox Series X/S as well as the PS5. Myself, I'm a PC gamer. Guess what? The game's coming on PC as well. So I'll be right over there playing on the PC side of things. But my kids, they'll probably be on the Xbox playing because that's what they like to do. You know, they like to get comfy on the couch and play. I like to, you know, take a break from work real quick, bust some laps out real quick, and then go back to work. So I'm on the PC side myself.
Fair enough. So let's talk about maybe the hottest topic of AMA Arena Cross 2024-25, and that is the MCR effect. What does that entail, my friend?
Well, it's really just the coming of Moto Concepts to the series. One, it brings a ton of legitimacy to the series. They're a factory Honda-supported race team. They have podiumed races. They've won 450 Supercrosses as a team. These guys are legit. They're coming in with Ryan Breese, who dang near won the championship, brought it down to the last main event last year. They're coming in with a guy who's been on the Supercross podium in the 250 class, Vince Friese, known to be the bad boy. And they're coming in with a very highly touted rookie with a lot of energy and a lot of excitement. How is that going to affect the series, bringing in that much attention that comes with that status of a team, those well-known riders that people know who they are? And, of course, team manager Tony Alessi. He is a student of the sport. He's going to dissect every single detail, and he is not afraid to do anything it takes to gain an edge for his team. And that is going to definitely raise the tensions in the pit area, a very tight, confined pit area. There will definitely be drama following at some point. And maybe it's within the team with Breese and Freeze. I don't know how they're going to work together. They're both pretty mature individuals, but they both have the same goal. Can they work together? Yes, until it's Arena Cross. I've seen best friends, Buddy Antonez and Denny Stevenson, literally get into a brawl with each other during a championship fight. It will happen at some point this year. They're going to get together on purpose or on accident. They're fighting for the wins. They're fighting for championships. They're fighting for dollars. They are going to get together. How does the team handle that to keep it from boiling over and costing the whole team a chance at the championship?
I can say this about Ryan Breese and Vince Friese. Both of those racers are fierce competitors who both simmer just below the surface at a boiling point. Really easy to tick those guys off. And when that happens, you'll feel the full effect of their wrath and their ability to force the issue on a particular pass. I'm really excited about not only the depth and the skill that those guys are bringing into the series, but also the aggressiveness and their ability to race physically throughout the entire season. I think that's something on top of the fact that we have 250s against 450s every single weekend. Back in the day, we had 125s in their class, 252 strokes in their class, and they were kept separate. Now you got all the dogs in the fight. What are your thoughts on an open class of Arena Cross?
Well, it's always really exciting, and it was a dynamic we saw really play out last year. There was a lot of events at elevation where Breese would be on that 450. He had an advantage over Kyle Peters. In the deep sand, he had an advantage. The big floors of Guthrie, he had such an advantage that Peters showed up to the second visit to Guthrie on a 450, even though he hadn't really tested and proven himself on that motorcycle. Now this year, he's coming in on the 450. If he's not adapting, is that question in the back of his mind, should I go get my 250 out? That's always the doubt. We talked about Wageman. He's coming in with both options. He's going to have both bikes ready and with him. He's been going back and forth and is comfortable on both bikes. I think the series this year, more than ever, is suited for a 450. They're at elevation at almost every stop, and they're at big floors. When I say big floors, instead of hockey and basketball arenas, which is the small horseshoe arena cross layout with a 5 or 6 jump, you know, double, triple, triple, double type yeah. rhythm section, they're a lot longer. You can open a 450 up a little bit. Then you go to Daytona, you're ending the series in that deep sand. We saw a lot of 250s struggling just to make it through the main events there. The sand was so deep and gnarly. I think it's a year made for the 450, or does somebody pull out the 350? That's what Chandler Baker was doing last year. I'm guessing we'll see him and Jadon Cooper both on those Husky 350s. Is that the bike of choice in arena cross? We don't know, but we'll find out. And it's always going to be a question because one of them will have strengths, one of them will have weaknesses, but what's the best all-around motorcycle throughout the season? It's going to be a battle, and guys are going to have to be able to adapt.
The 350 may be the Three Bears bike. Not too hot, not too cold, right down the middle. But yeah, I think you're right. Having a little bit of extra grunt coming out of the corners just might be the difference between a championship or watching one of your competitors celebrate on the podium at the very tail end of the season. It's time to get in some outrageous/bold predictions rolling into the year. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think that I'm going to make my bold prediction is that Noah Vianney wins himself a main event sometime throughout this season. I think he's got speed. I think he's got good starts. And if he starts up front, he's going to stay there. My bold prediction, Noah Vianney gets himself a main event win.
I'm going to start it off right away. We're going to find out night one or night two at round number one. One of our championship contenders is going to miss the main event. Things happen so fast in arena cross. You have a heat race, and an LCQ is all you have now. We have a stacked class with only 15 guys going to the main. If you blow that heat race, you fall down, you get a bad gate pick for the LCQ, it is very likely that you're going to struggle to get up and get into a transfer position. Somebody is going to start the series in a massive hole. It is undoubtedly going to happen to one of the guys that we think is a title contender. And the other one, Chase Marquier, will win multiple main events throughout the year. I think he's very underrated and is going to be a player that nobody is talking about.
No, I think you're totally right. I think a guy like Vince Freese, when it comes to the Clash for Cash, that guy is going to get himself some fireworks in a big way. So I guess there's a very simple question that can be asked about this series. Who are the race winners? Who do you think is going to go out there and get themselves a race win? Maybe they just get one. Maybe they rattle off a bunch. But we need to name who's going to be a race winner in arena cross this year for the AMA series.
Well, it's going to be pretty tough. I mean, there's 24 main events. Yep. And you got to think that a guy like Kyle Peters, Vince Freese, Ryan Breese, there's three of them right there. They're going to win multiples. So that takes away, you know, if they win three apiece, that's nine of them gone. That's almost, you know, we're getting close to half.
Yeah.
You add in, I think Robbie Wageman's definitely capable and will get wins. Okay. So now we have half of them gone. All right. Who's next? Wait, I just
Michael
said
Higgs has got to get one.
Who said Vianney? All right. You think we're going to have six winners? And then who's going to show up? Is Welton going to grab one? Is it possible that we get close to 10 winners throughout 24 races? I think it sounds completely crazy, but I think there's that many guys capable. I didn't mention Kyle Bitterman. I didn't mention Isaiah Clark. I didn't mention any other wild card that sneaks their heads in. There's so many guys. And guess who else didn't mention that will absolutely win main events? Michael Flippin' Hicks.
Yeah.
He might very well win the first main event of the year. He is definitely a title contender and a main event winning guy. Somebody's going to be unhappy. Austin Politelli. I think you're crazy to think he doesn't sneak a main event over 24 mains. But it's going to happen. There's no way that we have 14 guys. But again, there's 15 rider main event. One of them's going home unhappy. Yeah.
And I think we're all sleeping on Caden Braswell. Like, he has had a rocky start to his professional career. But at one point, TLD KTM saw a lot in that young man. And I think indoors and out, if given a great start, I think Caden has that skill set. He can win a race.
I really think we are so unfair if we don't put in Austin Politelli up in that conversation. he was at times the best guy without a full program last year.
Yeah.
That is so understated. He's coming into this thing with confidence, quietly ready to go. He's one of the most talented guys I've seen on a bike. If the whoops are big, he's going to be awesome. His starts are good. I think Politelli is more of a contender than we are talking about and putting on, even putting him in the wild cards. I was a little bit hesitant to put him there because I think if he was at every race last year, he's further up into this championship fight.
Totally agree. So we're going to get to a championship prediction a little bit down the road, but we need to establish who our actual title contenders are. Are we going to limit it to five of these guys, or how are we attacking this?
Well, I think between the two of us, we just need to say contender or not. And we can go through the list of guys that we have there real quickly. And I'm going to ask you one, and you tell me contender or not, and then I will argue if I need to. How about that?
Sure.
Is Kyle Peters a title contender?
Absolutely.
Yeah, without a doubt, Kyle Peters is a title contender. Michael Hicks, 100% a title contender. I see him going toe-to-toe till the end of this thing. Ryan Breese,
title contender, question mark? Absolutely. He has to be.
Yeah, did you not watch last year?
Exactly.
Coming in, the bad boy on the MCR bike, Vince Freese, 100% a title contender. He's experienced. He's a great starter. He doesn't make mistakes. And the biggest thing with Vince, not only does he know how to ride aggressive and go forward, he can be defensive and not go backwards and not end up on the ground. The amount of guys out there that want to smash him and are not able to because he doesn't give them the opportunity is massive. Vince Freese, 100% a title contender. Can the underdog be a title contender, Brad?
Chase Marquier, contender or not?
I see Chase Marquier being a race-winning contender. I don't see him being consistent enough. I don't see him having the program good enough to contend for the championship unless he ends up getting great results, fills in on a team if somebody goes out, and then he has the support to push him into that title contending role. I don't see the consistency for Chase Marquier.
So in your mind, as well as mine, your four definite contenders for this championship, Kyle Peters, Michael Hicks, Ryan Breese, and Vince Freese. It's going to come down to those four, isn't it?
I have to add in there Politelli and Wageman, actually. I will not have this conversation without them. Wageman has been a top 10 Supercross guy in the past. He is very good. He's very solid. He's come into the season, and he's not going racing arena cross to not be a title contender. And there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of support there. There's a lot of excitement there. And I believe he's only going to get better and better as he sets his sights on the season. And I still think the most underrated guy, I think he will be top three at the end of this championship, is Austin Politelli. I don't see a world where he is not, because I think he's going to consistently be there under the radar. He doesn't have enemies. He doesn't get in the way. He knows where his spot is so he can finish where he needs to in the main event. He's going to have consistency and avoid the drama. Politelli is going to be a very, very heavy hitter and hard to deal with that no one's talking about enough.
100%. Now, I guess with the contenders established, it's time to make some predictions. Championship predictions brought to you by Race Tech, starting right here, right now. I'm going to let you go first because I want to hear what you have to say.
Of course, putting me on the spot to sound like an absolute idiot, because I am going to bet against Kyle Peters. The switch to the 450, I think, is going to be more difficult for him. I do think he's going to be stronger than he was last year. I think the field is just more challenging. I think Kyle Peters is coming in with a point to prove, knowing it's stacked, and it's going to put a little more pressure on him, and he's going to try instead of being consistent all year. He's going to try to get it done too early. I think he's going to make mistakes. I think he's going to get in feuds. He has a massive target on his back. The guy that's going to win this title is going to stay out of trouble. I already said Vince Freese is able to stay out of trouble. Why? He starts at the front of the field. Hard to get in trouble until you get into lappers. Guess what? He keeps himself from getting taken out. He's going to be there week in, week out. He's experienced. He's fast. He can run it in and beat guys like Eli Tomac and Ken Roczen in a short race on a tight track. You can't tell me he is not the guy to beat right now in AMA Arena Cross. He will be your champion at the end of this thing.
Vince Freese, Arena Cross champ, has a bit of a ring to it, but I think he's going to watch his teammate raise the number one plate at the end of the year. Like you, I think that this is finally the year where Kyle Peters is meets his match with the rest of this very deep field. I think he's going to take some time to adjust to the 450. A guy who's not going to be adjusting to anything aside from a brand new Honda is Ryan Breese. Last year, he rolled in essentially the first race or two was a complete privateer, shocked the world, and for the most part, for the good portion of last year, was the guy to beat. He had so much momentum. It was just only one or two small falters that ended up keeping him from that championship. I think Ryan Breese, with the backing of MCR, takes his arena cross level to the next level and ends up nabbing that championship. My championship winner, my prediction, Ryan Breese.
Pretty wild, both of us betting against Kyle Peters. I'm sure he most likely will make us both look like absolute idiots.
Oh, 100%.
The good thing is,
I hope he takes it personally.
Conversation. You know, I could say going into last year, we didn't know Breese was sticking around for the whole season and coming in.
I don't think Breese did.
So he definitely didn't. In fact, he didn't know after round one. He didn't know after round two. And he stayed, which is awesome that now we're coming into here. We both just picked two different guys. We had a hard time narrowing down our list of contenders to a handful. It is going to be an exciting night of racing. I'm super excited here to watch Reno kick it off. I will be tuned in live on arenacrossallaccess.com for sure to watch all of it live every single week on demand. I can't tell you enough how exciting Arena Cross is, how much I get amped up for it, especially with this depth of talent, to sit down with a bowl of popcorn and yell at my TV as guys are smashing each other and racing at a very high level.
There will be carnage. I can guarantee that. This is AMA Arena Cross, and it's coming to a town likely near you, especially if you live at elevation. Checkers, thanks for making time for this, my friend.
Yeah, dude, it's been fun. And I'm guessing that you and I can be texting each other during these races. And if we get a really good one, we might just have to do this a couple times more because there's nothing I love to talk about more than AMA Arena Cross. Thanks for having me. It's been too long. Let's do it again sometime.
Yes, sir, my friend. You have yourself a great rest of your day. Do not hang up just yet. But for podcast sake, we're going to cut things off right there.